You're listening to Speak Free with Simon O'Connor, right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Well, we turn now to one of the favourite moments in my show, which is Community Gems, the chance to sit down and chat with people across New Zealand who are doing incredible, incredible work. And I have to say, I found this segment particularly humbling, and I think this morning's going to be no different. So welcome to Shilpa Wilson, who heads up, is the founder, the person who runs something known as Diamonds in the Rough. So Shilpa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Simon.
Look, an absolute pleasure. I have to admit, because believe it or not, I'm an honest man, I'm not aware of or wasn't aware of Diamonds in the Rough. So take us through what is Diamonds in the Rough? Who are you? Said in the best way. and how did this all come about?
So Diamonds in the Rough is an initiative that was birthed to equip and empower teenage and young parents and families. We work primarily with young mama and their babies. This initiative was birthed actually from a car crash that nearly took my life 7 years ago, where two boys were racing each other and my head went through the window, and this whole big thing happened, which created an awakening inside of me about my purpose. And having a background in psychology and mental health myself, and already having done so much within the community around that time, I knew someone who was 14 and had their first baby at 14, and she was 21 when I hit my head, and so to speak, and she had come back into my life then. And that's how I found out about Teen Parent Units. And that's when it all started off at Teen Parent Units. And very quickly, within the first 6 months, moved into the community. So what I do is I go into the Teen Parent Units and support young mothers, teen mums, to understand who they are, do a lot of stuff around self-worth, self-love, value, purpose, identity, and help them heal from their trauma. And then in the community space, we have a lot more freedom, of course, because that's the space that I've created, where we do a similar thing. And everything we do is based on connection and belonging and safety. And everything starts from that place. And of course, with my background in trauma and neuroscience, and not saying that every young mother has been through trauma, but the ones that are attracted to what we do have been, largely more than 95% of them, I would say. And giving them that space so that they can grow holistically. So everything that we do is very much along the lines of Te Whare Tapawha, mind, body, spirit, soul, heart connection. And going, I'm not sure how familiar you are with the brain, which you might be, Simon.
Some people with my former life and career think I don't really have much going on between the ears. There's an echo. So no, feel free, though, obviously some of that neuroscience or the brain development you're about to touch on.
Yeah. So until somebody feels safe and connected, they can't access the learning part of their brain anyway. So what we do initially, and it's so much of that whakawhanongatanga stuff, like bringing people together, creating safe, healthy community so that they can start to feel safe and connected and then access their frontal lobe or, you know, the executive functioning part of their brain. Because if we want to teach them new skills, new habits, new ways of living, we need to be able to tap into that. And if we don't start with the safety and connection, we can't. Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense to me. I've done, my wife and I are involved with foster care, and a big part of that now is basically a year-long amount of training. And put really, really simply, and echoing what you've said, that if you're someone coming from a traumatized background, you're always on edge, if you will. I'm putting this really simplistically, but all your energy is being diverted to defenses around your mind to protect yourself. You don't have time, as you say, to connect. Hey, but just jump back. You said it so quick and in passing. You were so boy races. I assume you weren't racing with them. No. You were an innocent.
No, I was headed home from the North Shore, actually. I live in Mangere. I'm a Southside girl. And two boys were racing each other. And one whisked past me so fast that it took me a second to click that they were even, you know, driving. And the other was behind me, and he misjudged because of the speed, tried to shift into the right lane and clipped my rear bumper, and ended up scraping all the way to the right-hand side of my car, and my head went through the window, and I was spinning at over 200 kilometers an hour, wrecking the median. So safe to say, I thought I was going to die, but I made it, and here I am. But Middlemore sent me home, and in 3 hours, they put 5 staples onto my head, and I only had a mild concussion. So they said, oh, well, you're very lucky. And off they sent me on my way at 2 a.m.
Oh, well, that's a whole nother discussion about our health system, but it's often referred to those as liminal moments or moments of change. And so, as you say, from that, you decided with your already counseling, therapeutic, psychology work that, well, to work with this trauma. So tell us, I mean, what is the, I don't know, a stereotype was the word I was going to use, the stereotypical young woman with a baby that comes to you. You mentioned the word trauma a few times. You just want to expand on that so listeners understand the level of care needed.
Mm-hmm. So I was very ignorant when I set foot in my first teen parent unit because I only thought it was a matter of contraception. That's how ignorant I was 7 years ago. But very quickly I learned that as the girls developed trust, you know, they would start to tell me things or write. One of them even wrote me a letter because she wanted me to know what she'd been through. So I'm talking about significant abuse, so physical, sexual, emotional, neglect, intergenerational cycles of poverty, and intergenerational cycles of addiction, gang involvement, all that sort of stuff together. And most times, the woman that I've come across, and I'm not saying this is everybody again, this is the niche that I feel I'm called to or that's attracted to what we do, they end up having already been sexually abused at quite a young age. So I've had mums tell me that they were waiting to get pregnant or just wanted a baby or wanted something to love, you know, because they've come from a family where, again, this is not to blame anyone or judge anyone. I feel people do better when they know better. And I feel like people, you know, but I'm talking about intergenerational cycles. So the parents obviously themselves have been traumatized and are probably addicted and have other stuff going on and have not been able to love and nourish their child for healthy development and so or protect their child in some instances. And then things have happened to their child. And as a result, pregnancy is not a big deal. In fact, it's something that is wanted in a lot of cases. And when they come across another young male, or sometimes it's not young, and when they get pregnant, they actually, I find that it's also a way to keep the relationship because a lot of them have abandonment issues or have nobody. And so this person that's showing them love to the extent that they understand it or can receive it is something that they hold close to their heart. They value, and in a funny way, I don't know how to describe it, but they do value life. So like a lot of the girls that I know, when they get pregnant, they're not thinking, oh no, I'm in trouble, blah, blah, blah. A lot of them have decided to keep the baby and, you know, value life. So that's a big deal, I think, in the cultural spaces that I operate in. Mm.
And so in many ways, you're there to break the cycle because, as you're saying, a lot of these young women have got probably trauma that many of us can't understand from the physical, sexual, and then substance abuse and so forth, and they're bringing a life into the world. You're trying to break that cycle. So, I mean, what are some of the, for want of a better word, what are some of the services that you provide? You mentioned going into teen parent units, but I know Diamonds in the Rough does more than that.
Yes, yes. So we are community-based in Kaitaia, Christchurch, Timaru, and Auckland. And in these spaces, and especially in Auckland, because I can see our mama every week, because I live in Auckland, I have created a space that's non-judgmental, safe, and unconditional. So not that we don't bring the truth up, but we never go away. So it's kind of like we're always there. You come and take our hand as many times as you need because we're attempting to repair that initial attachment relationship between mama and child that may not have happened or between key family members or just whatever might have happened relationally in their life with trauma. And a lot of them, and this is why, so obviously I was a psychologist before. This is very different because I'm able to see transformation over time. Like there is no quick fix. So we're not a 6-week program or 12-week program. We're as long as it takes kind of program. We're there. So we find mums that go and come. Sometimes 6 months later, they come back and they've taken what they've gotten, they've used it, they've come back and no questions asked. The door is always open. So we run programs all around parenting, self-worth, self-love, postnatal depression, mama's mental health, cooking classes, physical fitness. Right now we have a 6-week fitness challenge going online, so a lot of our moms taking part. So it's very holistic. So we do mindfulness meditation. We do everything that they need so they can be the best them, so that they can then support their children. And a lot of them have been through family violence, you know, intimate partner violence, that sort of stuff. You don't usually find out stuff until they feel safe and connected. And my moms aren't the ones that you would typically walk into, say, a counselor's office. I mean, there's so much fear around, you know, their babies being taken away or anything like that. But oftentimes we find out when they feel safe and connected. So just last week, one of our moms, in the context of a lesson we were doing on how whatever our moms have been through, you know, they unintentionally pass things on to us, and then we pass it on to our babies. And what does that look like? And she disclosed all the stuff. She's now 30, but she shared stuff that happened when she was 16 and nobody knew. So in that space of safety and connection where you can share and you're loved and accepted by the group as well, by the community, A, people believe you, because most of our moms, no one's believed them when they were young and they shared their history and what's happened to them. A, people believe you, they acknowledge what you've been through, they offer you, support you through it. That's already your healing on its way, a safe community where you belong, where you don't feel you're ostracized or alone. And a lot of people know that childbirth in general, when you're a mama, is can be quite hard and can be quite a lonely road, especially those first few years. So I don't know if I answered your question.
But no, you did. I mean, look, long and short, you're providing support to people who are often very traumatized. And by healing, if you will, the mum, my term there, but if you're healing the mum, that's actually going to pass through into the family. And the other thing that struck me, it's come from some of my own experience to helping others, not directly to myself, but yeah, that not being believed, unfortunately, particularly when that violence or abuse is within the family, particularly against young girls, the family doesn't want to talk about it. The girl gets gaslit and ostracized.
Yes, and that's exactly what's happened. So with a lot of our mums, but one case in point is actually one of the very first few mums that I ever worked with. She was 19 when I met her. She's now 26 and has written a book on her whole story and is about to publish it, but also is training with me, because I've got a group of young mums that I'm training now to be mentors and volunteers to support our other young mums coming in. So they're giving what they got, in a sense, and they want to be in the space. She had actually been through horrendous trauma by her stepfather, had children as a result. And and I supported her in court a couple of years ago to face a perpetrator. And even that process was very eye-opening, because she said, "Will you be my support person?" And I said, "Of course." And I remember in the first year itself, like, you wouldn't guess, because she is so lively, encouraging, sweet, friendly, academically performing really well at the teen parent unit. You know, no one would ever guess what she'd been through. And I'm talking horrendous from the ages of 12 to 16. So we went to the court, and I realized a lot about our systems and how our systems work. Of course, in order to give evidence, she was re-traumatized. But in that space, you know, with the healing, safety and connection and community she had around her, because literally in the first year of her being involved with us, we had to actually work alongside social workers and get her out of that space into a safe, loving family home, really. And what ended up happening was she – can you hear me? The kind of glitch for a bit?
We had a glitch for a second, but you're still with us.
Yeah, yeah. And so she is doing so well. So part of what we do, like this year we ran an event called Walk for Worth, where we had 9 mums work closely with me to understand a little bit more about their trauma and self-worth and self-love and what that looks like. But we also taught them how to do things like makeup and dress and walk a ramp. But, from a perspective of every shape, size and skin color is beautiful, because a lot of our mums, it's that self-worth that, you know, usually happens in the first 2.5 years of your life in a safe, connected relationship with that attachment, you know, with your caregiver. And if you want to change it later in life, thanks to neuroplasticity, we can do that, but it takes some time. And so for them to start on their journey, and then some of them even share their story. And so this mama shared her story with 70 people that attended in June this year. And just watching her growth and her coming along to things and, you know, encouraging other mums, because she's been through everything, like, you know, suicide ideation, you know, the abuse, the postnatal depression, losing her birth parents, all sorts of stuff. But watching her stand strong, because for me, this is, there is hope at the end of the tunnel. Everybody needs somebody in their life that doesn't give up on them no matter what. There are consequences, there is truth spoken, but without that, like, we all need community, or we would have been born in isolation, you know? And so she has a village.
Well, I've always said we're actually born into relationship. You know, no one's ever alone, because there's always, in my case, son to mother, son to father, and it goes from there. So I love the name you've chosen, Diamonds in the Rough. I think the way you've explained things will make it understandable to listeners why you've chosen that. So how do listeners, if they want to get in touch, whether they know someone who needs help or they want to support you in some way or donate, because that's always a good thing. These things cost money. How do people find you and get in touch?
So we are on Facebook, just with the username Diamonds in the Rough 19. We are also on a website, www.diamondsintherough.org.nz. And I also run a trauma-informed coaching and consultancy, so I can train other people to do what I do without needing 20 years of training or experience, but the ones that are out there doing the frontline work, so we can support people heal from their trauma. And that's called Rise Coaching and Consultancy. So there's so many different ways people can contact me, or my email address is diamondsintherough19@gmail.com. I can actually send you all of that. That's a lot.
It is. No, that is good, though. The great thing, Shilpa, is that we do all this as replays too in social media, so we'll make sure to link that in. So basically, guys, if you want to find out more about what Shilpa is doing, or you want to support, let's say, jump online, diamondsintherough.org.nz, or on the likes of Facebook, Diamonds in the Rough 19, and then that'll lead you through to other options. Shilpa, thank you so much for what you are doing, particularly for these mums and babies. It's just actually really heartening to hear. And again, just grateful for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Simon. It's such an honor to be here today.
It's a pleasure. So everyone, that was Shilpa Wilson, who is the founder, CEO, and the everything I would describe of Diamonds. There we go. Diamonds in the Rough. So thanks again.
Thank you.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.